Krista Berg discovered a man's wedding ring in a bag of recently purchased dog food. She called the manufacturer, she called the local store, and it was there that she found the owner of the ring. Bridget Paracola put her wedding ring in the Dixie cup in the kitchen. The cup got thrown away, taken to the curb, and hauled off in a trash bag in a trash truck. Her husband Angelo met the garbage truck, sifted through tons of trash, found the bag and the cup and the ring inside. And Aliki Tamopa lost his ring in ocean water off the coast of New Zealand. He dished his anchor to mark the spot. He returned a year later, found the anchor, and found the ring. It's a beautiful story when a wedding ring is lost and when it is found. Yet we live in a society where wedding rings go missing. Their owners never wanting them back again. We live in a society where marriages are going missing. Less adults are getting married. When they do, the rates of divorce are rising. It is a practice to ignore God's design for marriage. Husbands, wives, and children are paying the price. Though we sit in a church this morning, we are not exempt from this. Shamefully, professing Christians also spurn God's design for marriage. The rate of divorce among believers is said to mirror that of the local culture. The people of God are in need of God's design for marriage as well. And that brings us to Colossians 3, verse 18 this morning. Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19 is God's design for marriage. 19 words in the Greek can literally save hundreds of thousands of marriages. Because God calls us to a new life, He calls our marriages to a unique standard. And this morning we will see God's design for wives. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I can hear it already. Now you wait just a minute. This is 2017. This is the 21st century. We have women's rights. We have equality in all things. And we have feminist movements. This old antiquated Bible doesn't know my spouse. This book will get me to heaven, but it's not going to run my marriage. Before you throw this verse out, hear me out. Colossians 3:18 was not limited to Bible time. Verse applies to all wives throughout history, down even to our day. Why is this? Because this is order. This is God's design. It follows God's order in creation. 1 Timothy 2:13, for it was Adam who was created first, and then Eve. Colossians 3:18 imitates the order of the Godhead. 1 Corinthians 11:3, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. So if you want to start a revolution, my friends, start with Colossians 3:18. This message is revolutionary. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Be subject is to submit or to subordinate oneself. A wife is to subject herself, not by compulsion, but willingly to her own husband. I recognize here that this is not obedience. So There's a different word for obedience. That's in verse 20, speaking about children two verses down, and that's a different word. This word submit, it comes from a military term of the time. It means to arrange under rank. And picture with me, there's privates and there's colonels and there's generals in every army, but that does not mean that one is better than the other as people. It's a design of order. And notice, too, how the word for submit is used elsewhere in Scripture. Jesus submitted to his parents, Luke 2:51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This word is used of people submitting to the government in Romans 13. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And Jesus the Son submits to God the Father. When all things are subjected to him, speaking about God, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him. So wives who heed the command of verse 18 are in good company. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, personifies a perfect submission. And frankly, we recognize this in life. We all submit to something. We all submit to somebody already. Branches of government, CEOs to their executive boards, employees in the workplace. But I understand this command still does not sit well with some. In large part, in our day, the time in which we live, this idea of submission means something different. It means something negative. It has to do with the demeaning servitude in some contexts. Others view submission as some cringing degradation or even a passive resignation. It's as though those who submit are simply doormats. We must be careful not to impose our contemporary thinking upon God's plan for marriage. His plan is perfect, and it has been so for a long, long time. You see, when God designs something, we'll take marriage for example, we as humans will find incredible satisfaction and incredible joy only when we follow that design. That's why homosexual attempts to mimic marriage result in such a devastation to their souls. They distort and they pervert God's design for marriage. God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman. God's plan for the man is to love his wife. We'll see that next week. God's plan for the wife is to submit to her husband. Use a car imagery, when the spark plugs are in and the gas tank is full, the engine will run smoothly. When we follow God's design for marriage, we will find success. Now, the wife submits to her husband because God created it to be that way. It has been this way from the beginning. We could even say that he has ordained a divinely instituted hierarchy from creation. We heard this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. As Paul wrote, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and every man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Let's look at the Trinity for a minute. The Father and the Son are equal in deity, in nature, in attributes, yet the Father and the Son are different in their roles. So it is with husbands and wives. They are certainly equal in personhood, but they are different in roles. God teaches us about our different functions by using the Trinity. Moreover, this whole notion of submission is a picture of Jesus Christ and his church. Ephesians expands this simple command of Colossians 3:18. Ephesians 5 speaks to the marriage relationship. Paul writes, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Wives, you're to submit to your husband because the church submits to Christ. That's a powerful portrait of God's will for your life. The church willingly gives herself to Jesus. The church submits to his leading. The church, without compulsion, says, "I will follow Christ." So then God's design for marriage is submission by the wife. The end of verse 18 provides the manner in which this submission is to take place. It says, "as is fitting in the Lord." This phrase has led to some pretty funny interpretations. Some husbands have claimed that this is how the wife must submit. She must obey me like she obeys the Lord. And some wives have claimed that they're only to submit when their husbands act like the Lord. He's not getting my submission unless he acts like Jesus. But both of these miss the point of what Paul's writing here. What he's trying to say is submission is a matter of commitment to Jesus Christ. Wives submit to their husbands because of their duty to the Lord. And this honors, again, God's design for marriage, and it honors his command for marriage. We know that the Christian's wife, the Christian's first allegiance is to Jesus Christ. The wife will always follow Christ above all. The second allegiance would then be to her husband. The commands of Christ lead her life. As her husband leads without contradicting the Lord, she would submit to her husband. Something visible in our own lives. We all submit to the government as it is fitting in the Lord, do we not? But if the government forces us or tries to cause us to violate Scripture, we are not going to follow that command. We're not going to submit to that. Wives are to submit to their husbands as it is fitting in Christ. As the husband leads and does not cause her to violate the truths of Scripture, she is to follow him. Up to now, we've discussed this notion of what submission is. It might be good to clarify a little bit about what submission is not. Just to touch on this again, submission does not mean an inferior role for the wife. In fact, if husbands are anything like me, you've discovered that the role of the wife is an invaluable part of your lives. And what they do is wonderful. The wife's role is different than that of the husband, but it's of immeasurable value to the marriage, to the family, and to other aspects of life as well. And as we saw in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all have different roles. One is not inferior to the other because his role is different. They're unique roles. But there's an equality in their nature and their attributes. And Colossians 3 teaches us that God's plan for families has different roles and different functions in mind for the different members of that family. Husbands, wives, parents, children, they all have different roles. But yet in Christ, they are all of equal value. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, neither male or female. You are all one in Jesus Christ. That's underscoring the value of all persons united in the body of Christ. So submission isn't addressing a wife's worth. Christians are all children of God. To quote again from 1 Peter, the wife is a fellow heir of the grace of life. That's a big statement about her worth and her value. The worth is equal, but the function is different. I'd say, secondly, that submission is not an excuse for abuse. Only an immature, chauvinist man would make such an idiotic claim. Submission is a righteous command. It's given by the Father, given to a daughter. We hold God's commands with a preciousness, and this one is no different. This means that wives do not need to be pushovers for husbands who defy God, namely, if husbands who abuse them. Wives are not called to accept abuse without complaint. They should express their anger and their grief. They should come and find support in the body of Christ. Wives should even take tough stands to confront abusive behavior. They should not, however, run to divorce court. Seems as though every time a spouse sneezes the wrong way anymore, there's a divorce happening. The Bible takes an equally firm stance against divorce, and God's design for the marriage bond must be upheld. So submission in marriage is not an occasion for abuse. We saw that it's not an inferior role. Willful submission by wives is a command given by God. It's His design. It's His means of grace. In the 11th century, King Henry III was a ruler of Germany, and he grew tired of this court life. He was sick of ruling, and he wanted to get rid of the pressures of the monarchy. So he applied to a monastery to live the life of a monk. Richard Pryor, the superior in that monastery, asked him, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be very hard for you since you have been king." To which the king replied, "I understand. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." Prior Richard instructed him, "Go then back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God placed you." Certainly, wives, it's possible to tire of your role and your responsibility. But you must know that your loving Heavenly Father has placed you exactly where you are, just where He wills you to be. Your husband may be loving and compassionate. He may be lazy and cursing. He may be lacking and clumsy. Your husband may make bad decisions. He may live in another reality. He may even reject Jesus Christ and the faith outright. But submit to your husbands. Why? Because of your affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord understands your marriage intimately. And He is at work in you through whatever circumstances you are in. And you just never know what God might do through your obedience to His word. Let me pray for us this morning.